Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody out there, Kaylin Patterson, Midwest Muscle, P4P Real Talk in the house. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals like a Mack truck through ice cream, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk, Bez. How you doing?
Kaylin. Hey, it is wonderful. Sun is out. The weather's trying to warm up a little bit after it's been raining and cold, so I cannot complain. Ecstatic to be on the phone with you tonight.
Yes, me too. Glad to be on here myself. I missed you guys Tuesday.
It was a good show. Derek Davis, wow, is all I can say. I am so pumped about his show that he's got coming up in Augusta, another DFAC original. So it's going to be a great show. He's got a lot of great things going on. For anyone who missed us Tuesday, you're going to want to check the archives and listen in because we get to learn about the Augusta Natural. He talks to us about posing, just about balancing his crazy life and where he's going to be competing next. So a lot of great stuff you're not going to want to miss.
Oh, yeah. I got to tune in for that myself.
You might want to do that. I must say, I enjoyed the show.
Oh, I'm sure you do. Well, go ahead. Let me hear some more.
No, that's it, because I want you guys to download it and listen. I'm not sharing anymore. That's it. That's the preview.
You know, I'm glad you did that, because I got to listen. I'll take it.
All right, good. So, what do we got going on tonight?
Oh, tonight we're going to segue from promotion to an actual serious side of the natural community, and this is something that we've all dealt with, that either on the receiving end or being a witness to it, or some of us unfortunately have been on the bad side of it. But we're talking about bullying, and I'm talking with a man that's just very passionate about this, and he's actually set up a format to help the people that are dealing with it and suffering through it, you know, whether it be parents, friends, family, or, you know, some people that basically are dealing with it initially, which is on a personal side of it, which is basically being the victim. And I hate to use the victim because it's basically just the target. It's not really, I don't like the way it's being said in the social realm where it's like, you know, they can do something about it. It's more like just the target of someone's anger, frustration, or just disbelief in a social format that can be productive for them. And I'm going to introduce Sean, but I'll let him piggyback what I'm saying and talk about his program on his side. So, Sean, you know, welcome to the show, and just let us get a little brief rundown of who you are and what you do.
Oh, okay, appreciate it, Kaylin. Appreciate you having me on the show tonight, and I think this is a very good topic that needs to be covered because I think it's still overlooked immensely to society, and due to this issue being overlooked the way it is, you know, we continue to have, you know, this suicide and, you know, great school violence because of this. I'm a police officer. I've been in law enforcement for about 22 years, and now I have a non-for-profit organization I started in order to address this issue. And what I found out that a lot of times when kids are getting bullied, they reached out for help. If it was it just wasn't from school or talking to a parent or social media, you know, kids reached out for help in order to, you know, get these issues resolved. And what I found was oftentimes they were not getting resolved. And as a result, you know, you have kids committing suicide and still, like I said, acts of violence. So I come up with a format that I think that it worked. That's would bring leadership, and it's Team Bully Response Squad, or TBRS for short. And what we do, we serve as an intervention team, and we will come out to help kids if they are being bullied. And what we do, we work with local law enforcement, we work with schools, teachers, or whoever, you know, it may need be in order to not only help the victim, as you spoke on early, Kaylin, but, you know, to help the bullies as well. If someone never challenges the bullies, you'll never change the culture. So, you know, you have to look at trying to deal with everyone involved in the situation, if at all possible.
You know, I knew that Kaylin was bringing you on the show, and was very excited that you were going to be here. And I just have to say, I spend a lot of time on social media. It's part of my job. But, you know, an incident even just happened today in Wilmington, Delaware. A girl got in a fight in the bathroom with another girl over a boy, to say the least. And she ended up getting jumped by a group of other girls, and now she's dead just today. It just happened hours ago. And, you know, just looking at some of the responses, because this is tragic. I mean, and it's taking a turn that's different than maybe even some of the examples we have, but still a form of group violence, still bullying, if you will, because this was an issue that was between two people. It became an issue that started between two people, and then a group of other kids on one side versus the other joined in, and now we've lost a life. And one of the comments there was, you know, what is it that we can learn from this, and what can we do to produce true justice, you know, for such an act? And you know, it has to be justice for, the target, as Kaylin would call it, but then also for the lives on the other side of this that have now been forever changed because of this act that didn't need to get carried as far as it was. Can you kind of talk to us about how your group goes in and helps to bring about some of this learning or this change that needs to happen?
Well, that's part of the issue that we have. You know, if you look at this situation in Delaware, as a matter of fact, someone sent that to me today via Facebook asking me about it, or, you know, can I do anything to help out on that? And when you look at these situations with this conflict, you know, between these young ladies, I am 100% sure this has been an ongoing conflict. And
yeah,
like I said, unfortunately, with these ongoing conflicts, there is no one to get in between them, and they will continue to spiral out of control until they erupt into great violence. And a lot of times these schools aren't equipped to deal with things like this. You know, these kids are a resurgent issue, or you have a lot of things going on social media, and there's somebody taking a proactive stance to get involved. And I think that's the importance of me being involved in law enforcement, because when you have someone like me that can say, hey, I will get involved, you know, not only from a law enforcement standpoint, but from a leadership, it's all about the leadership you bring to these situations, then you can start to get some change. There's no leadership when a lot of these things are going on. You know, a lot of times these schools will turn a blind eye, or they don't think this thing will erupt into violence, or I think sometimes these schools maybe hope that these situations will just disappear, but they won't.
Yes.
Oftentimes these are situations that are going on for 4 months, 5 months, or here's a great example. I'm just leaving Peoria, Illinois. Yeah, years. I'm leaving Peoria, Illinois, and here's this little kid that has attempted suicide twice. And he's 12 years old, and he said, hey, I've been getting bullied forever. You know, he has a birth defect the kids bully him for, and he's been to four different schools. He said the schools never do anything. They just show these same bully DVDs that nobody does anything. And you have a kid like this that attempts to take his life. Nobody brings any leadership to when these kids are in crisis, and the structure is going to most definitely have to change. If the structure don't change, you're going to continue to have these kids being assaulted at school. You're going to have this bullying continue. And then not only that, you look at the thing that we talk about, the school-to-prison pipeline. You know, these kids actually murdered another student. There's no justification in that. So you probably have another four or five kids that are going to be getting ready to go to prison. So you have to look at the bigger view of what's going on. You know, officers have to be regularly monitoring a lot of stuff that's going on in these schools, not only just from a school level, but from a social media level as well. You need to have officers engaged in Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Kick, you know, these officers need to be trying to stay in front of a lot of these negative actions, but unfortunately we're still behind. And as I say, we're still behind the eight ball. And you talked about that earlier, Kaylin. If something don't change, this thing is going to be 100 times worse in 5 more years.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The thing that frightens me is, you know, because a lot of times, and I'll give an example, and this is at my church, so I was there to witness it. And we had done a summer youth program out of the church, and we were, you know, helping the kids do whatever. And the topic, of, you know, it wasn't about bullying. It was a topic about sex. And there was one of the members of the church that said he couldn't speak about this simply because he had done it and they were doing what he was doing, so he felt he was wrong to say it. And I told him, you were the perfect example to say, you know, the pitfall that happened when you get involved in things that you know nothing about or are not equipped to handle mentally or physically, and you end up hurting a lot of people around you, not just the person that you're dealing with initially. And he was just shocked that I would challenge him to do more. And I think that's the same thing with bullying, because, you know, people, if you look at society as a whole in this nation, it's very negative on the forefront. The loudest voices are usually very polar. And it's like when you say someone has been raped, when you say someone has been bullied, when you say someone has been harmed, you usually, what's happening on the initial forefront is that the person that is being victimized is being victimized again by society because they said you could have done more. And instead of turning it the other way and saying we could have done more, we could have been more active, we could have been more involved in what's happening in society, but it's just easier, and that's basically what it is. It's just an easier way just to shuttle the person, which is considered the problem. And that's amazing to me in such a Christian nation that we speak of, in such a Christian culture, that we would sit there and shuttle the people that are being put in harm's way into more harm's way by basically putting their names out there in social media and attacking them on that side as well. So, you know, it's almost like they never have that outlet that they're crying out for.
Right. You just spoke perfectly on the kid I just helped in Peoria. When getting here to the school and trying to speak to them and find out what's going on, well, they wanted to say that this kid was the bully. So here's a kid that's already been victimized for this birth defect, and when trying to get some answers, well, the school say, well, he's a bully also. And now you have this kid even more hurt by hearing something like that, and then you have the mom furious that they would even say that her kid is being a bully. So from what I'm gathering, this kid has been bullied for so long, now he's starting to fight back. Now everybody has their boiling point. And that's what you said. It's like you said, Kevin, these things go on for years. And either two things are going to happen. Either the kid's going to start fighting back and it's going to result of great violence, or you're going to have this kid trying to take their life. Speaking of things as far as a Christian nation, that's a great point. You know, I hear a lot of people saying, oh, we're so angry and we're angry. And as me being a Christian myself and God calling me to do this kind of work, I have to ask people, if you're a Christian, what are you angry about? You know, God has given us certain instructions and certain commandments and mandates we should adhere to. So me being a Christian, you should be motivated. You should be positive. Your light should be shining in order to share and help other people, whatever the case or whatever the scenario may be. And we talked about that a little bit before the show too, Kaylin, how you mentioned a lot of people is just a failure to act or a failure to want to do anything. You know, being a Christian and being a child of God, you should be motivated to help out in whatever situation it may be. If it's bullying, if it's some type of rape situation or domestic violence, for some reason I see people that kind of shy away from those, but when it comes to other organizations like, oh, we're going to raise money for cancer, or we're going to raise money for diabetes, and, you know, I see people that get so excited, they come out, they do these fundraisers, and I'm like, you're study missing one of the biggest things we need to be helping, and it is the kids. That's who we need to be helping. It's the youth, the young people, the next generation. Times have changed, and we can't keep thinking the same status quo foundations, and I don't want to be putting names out there because some of these organizations do great work, But we need to change some of these organizations that we continue to give money to, supporting them financially. And we need to look for smaller organizations that's really out here doing the work. There are fantastic organizations out here doing the work at the ground level with absolutely no support, just like my organization. We do these organizations, we dang near do them on pennies. You know, you ask somebody, hey, I'm doing this intervention, this kid needs help, we're traveling, can you donate? And not one person wants to give or help out. And it just amazes me that anybody, that if you put up that a kid is trying to take their life, or a kid sent us an email saying, hey, I'm getting bullied because I'm poor, I want to end my life. You know, you put this stuff up, hey, can you guys support it? And nobody donates. But for some reason, like you said, Kaylin, people are not motivated. Why aren't we inspired to help our kids and help the next generation? We're just silent.
Yeah.
Because it's not fun. I mean, that's what it comes down to, it seems like, sometimes. Because when you can rally around these other things like disease and this and that from major organizations that have major dollars, it's all by easy things that you can do. You can do a 5K. You can do, you know, a bake sale. You can do whatever, but it doesn't really require you to come out of your comfort zone to support it. This is a whole another ball of wax, and it does require people to come out of their comfort zone to recognize the issues that are out there, and that, you know, maybe your kid is part of that issue. Maybe they haven't done something that has resulted in a tragic outcome, but maybe your kid is one of those. And then you have to sit back and recognize and at least take accountability for maybe some of those actions are. Because let's face it, kids are mean. Kids are mean at that age, and they've been mean for generations at that age. But now with the advent of social media and all of these things, they're able to be mean in different ways and ways that kids can't escape. And they are further reaching and, you know, cause more damage because it's not isolated anymore. The whole world can see it. They can shame someone in front of hundreds and hundreds of kids in 2 seconds with just words. And,
They put that out there on social media, and like you said, that's another ball of wax. You know, social media and what goes on, and I think when you look at the social media paradigm, there's nothing to regulate Facebook, regulate Instagram. Mm-hmm. There's no one really regulating when kids are out here doing a lot of this lawless activity. You know, versus where something comes up in school, and you know, well, yeah, we got policies, we can kind of regulate and control that. So these kids have this free reign to get on social media and pretty much do whatever they want without absolutely no intervention or no one getting involved. And, you know, like I said, it's going to keep ending up in tragic consequences.
Yes. Well, the thing that you have to understand, and all of us need to understand, is there's a lot of us that carry out secrets in our lives that we're not willing to put out there to the world because we're ashamed of them. And, you know, when I've dealt with bullying, when I've dealt with domestic disputes, when I've dealt with the people that have had to deal with rape or been, you know, the raper, you see that there's this shame or this hidden secret that basically fuels the hurt that they're causing or the shame to cover it up. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So there's plenty of things that should be done, but because so many that are considered leaders, and I put that in quotes, is that they've done so much dirt to become that person at the high end that they really can't get involved the way they should because there's so much in the closet that'll fall out if they get too involved and somebody basically shames them into silence.
Oh, no, yeah, I agree with that. You know, you come to a lot of these, like you said, the so-called leaders or, you know, people that have connections in order to help, it's such a great unwillingness in order to network, in order for others to get in to do the work that needs to be done. So either we're going to continue to perpetuate what we're doing or we're going to really try to seek some type of social change and justice, what's going on, rather if it's in the streets or if it's in the schools. And unfortunately, those bad politics is holding people hostage or holding good people hostage in doing what they need to do or those who want to do good. I put it that way. because some of those that are in the leadership role, I don't know if they're really looking to get the change that we want. So, but, you know, good people like you, Kaylin, you know, you're talking about the topic. You know, you got me on here. You said what we're doing. How can we keep getting people connected and grow what we're doing and keep doing the work that needs to be done?
Yep, that's a good question. It's a good question, $1,000 answer that everybody's waiting for.
Well, the work doesn't stop. You know, even though we get low donations with the money coming in, you know, even though the entire team couldn't go with me to PRA, hey, I rolled out by myself. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, if you're committed to the cause to help someone, and, you know, I talked to this kid and I heard a depression in his voice and how he wants to end his life, you know, you got to make a move. You know, you can't never let money be the controlling factor why you will or will not do the work.
Great.
Maybe sometimes, great. But hey, the money's there, or I got enough money. If I got to go down here on bare bones in order to make this intervention happen, I'm going to do it. And that's the great thing what our organization does. You know, when we get into other cities, we look to connect with other people. You know, we connect with businesses, we connect with churches, we connect with law enforcement, we connect with martial arts schools. We see how we can get other people involved in order to accomplish the work and accomplish the mission that we need to.
But the $1,000 answer is that what Sean just said, you have to push past your comfort zone. And everybody's wanting to do as long as they're comfortable. But that means they're not willing to do much because, you know, now comfort zone is basically a smartphone or a MacBook or laptop with a banner change on your profile pic. And, you know, what does that do? You know, and it's sad, you know, okay, sign this social media petition to make people stop killing elephants in Africa. And I almost have to shake my head and put my hand in there because I said, well, what's that going to stop? You know, we're pissed off. We're ready to, you know, go and do any and everything on social media and rant, rave, cuss, and basically berate each other for somebody's feeling on one side or the other. But you got the elephants in Africa still getting their heads blowed off, and this is happening daily.
Exactly.
So I said, well, then what are we really doing? And that's what it comes down to. Like, and this is so close to the scripture, it's almost, well, it is scripture because it says, you know, there's plenty of work to do, but the laborers are few. The harvest is there. And like Sean's saying, kids are crying out. They're screaming. I'm sorry for getting so loud, but when you talk about
you're absolutely right. This is how I'm sitting here today talking to this 12-year-old kid. When he told me he first tried to take his life at the age of 11, when he wrapped a belt around his neck and he said he started choking. And I asked him, I said, well, what happened? How did you make it or survive that? He said when he started choking, he said that tears started running out of his eyes. And he reached up and touched the tears in his eyes and he looked at them. And he realized that he wasn't going to let the bullies defeat him like this. So he unloosened the belt and chair back so he would not succumb to him trying to take his life. And unfortunately, with the birth defect, this kid continued to get bullied and no help or no true intervention services to help him. He tried to kill himself again. And this kid is telling me, and I'm sitting there listening to this kid, this little baby, talking about how he's ready to end his life. So this kid said he takes a black cord this time, and he wraps it around his neck. And he said when he wrapped it around his neck, he started choking, and he started going in and out of consciousness. And he said he don't know or he can't really remember what happened. He think it was God. God saved him, and it wasn't time for him to go yet. And it just amazes me when I tell people these stories, like nobody cares. And it is so many other kids out here like the one I helped today. Like you said, Kaylin, that is screaming for help. Somebody help me. Get into this fight with me. But we're just silent. We're too scared to donate $5 or $10 in order for somebody to go help a child. But we'll give money to all of the most ridiculous things. I think one of the most ridiculous things I've seen, a guy did a Kickstarter to make potato salad. And he raised like over $75,000.
Wow.
Where's the church? You know, me being Christian, where?
He must be hitting the dead zone, but I understand his point. It's just so much happening, and we need to be so much more involved because, you know, when I talk about the natural community, and, you know, we have less to hide than most because, you know, we basically put ourselves out there and our families or friends are watching because they've known us all this time. And it's just so much happening that we could do and more involved we can be because if anyone knows about changing lives, it's a natural competitor because our life has been about change done in a way that you can live with and your friends can live with and your family can live with. And then when you just keep coming around to where it's just, it can't be just the isolated me statement. It's got to be we sooner or later.
You know, and it does, and it does. And unfortunately, a lot of times what it takes is that it has to hit home before the I becomes the we, because that's when it becomes real, and that's when you can really identify with the problem. When it's always someone else, you know, it's not as real as when you have that family member that has experienced it or it's on your own doorstep. You know, I'm a mother. I have three kids, and my youngest, She's in the lower elementary grades, but last year, even as a first grader, I don't know exactly everything that stemmed this, but I am appreciative of the way her school handled it. But they actually brought in the school counselor to meet with the girls in her classroom. Even in the first grade, they were having all these chatty issues about not being able to get along and, you know, at that level, hurting feelings and not playing with each other and, you know, this, that, and the next thing. And, you know, while someone might look at it and be like, oh, that school, you know, they're just being overcautious. And, but you know what? Kids that are acting out in this fashion in kindergarten and first grade, there's going to be kids that continue to do it in the older grades and they just get better at it.
Yes.
And so, you know, they met on a regular basis, and they talked about these things, and believe it or not, the girls actually started getting along better with each other, and they were having fewer behavioral issues and relational issues because they were able to get together and talk it out and talk about solutions and ways to resolve them that didn't include, you know, being nasty verbally or, you know, it hadn't got to the point where it was violent, but still, you know, another couple of years, maybe it would have. And so
actions need to be taken young. It's the thing about this, and this is a very close subject to my heart, because like Sean was saying, we're dealing with children. And the fact that they are copying what they see, hear, and feel. And, you know, we won't admit the truth of the matter. And it's not, you know, they always say, well, where are the parents? And I get that. You know, they're the first role models. I get that. But when you talk about a parent that's a single mother that's working two jobs, I would say when is the parent, not where. When.
Yeah.
And when does the mother get to be that mother that everybody's berating her for not being? When does that father that's working, you know, two or three jobs because he's got the master's in a degree that's no longer valued in America, you know, and so he's got to work the two and three jobs. And we can't keep kicking the can down the road. And that's a popular term lately in politics, but you figure we're also doing it in the social realm where we're constantly saying, like somebody at the gym, well, you know, one day I'm going to compete. And, you know, and it never comes about because it's just that dream that you always aspire to, but you're not really willing to do that work or put in that effort. And, you know, I'm not downgrading bullying because it is a very serious issue, but I'm trying to have it correspond with someone's thinking, and hopefully they can check into that and see, you know, I did change my body, and I said and I swore I never could. I'll never be able to do that. That can never happen. I mean, if you think about what we're talking about when we're talking about bullying, we're saying if these people would just tighten their, gird up their loins and be stronger people, you know, bullying would cease. And I'm saying, no, it's never going to cease until we start seeing it as what it is. You know, the people that are saying, it's almost like saying, well, because she wore the dress, she deserves to get raped. I'm saying, no, challenge that person that's the rapist. Why are we always going after the person that's basically receiving the abuse initially? And then we add on to it to where it actually becomes so exponential, they don't even want to have their own life. Think about that.
It's because we always look for the reason why it happened, and we look for the reason of the person who got victimized versus the reason of the person of why they did that way. Why did they act that way? And, you know, bullies can be victims sometimes too, because if you get down to the root cause of why they're acting out the way that they are, there is something tragic that happened in their life. They were probably bullied at one point in time, or, you know, it's just trickling downhill or kicking the can, as you say. But for whatever reason, we always like to look at the person receiving the action versus the person giving it.
The quick fix.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's a quick fix. Because if you can basically, I mean, if there's so many things in the social realm right now where instead of saying, this person is the problem because they are the, basically, like you said, they've been the person that was victimized and now they're becoming the person that's creating other victims. And instead of dealing with them because they're so well known or they're so popular, then we'll just basically shut the person up that's doing the outcry. And then, you know, it'll go away. Because the biggest problem in the right now world we live in is that we're basically saying, you know, I want to talk about it today, but like a movie or a TV show after 30 minutes or an hour, you know, it's got to end. We got to be done with it so we can move on to the next agenda. And people's lives just don't work that way. It's becoming epidemic to where we're not addressing the needs of people as people. We're basically doing almost like an automated voice response, and we speak more cliches than I would like to even think of. And our children are suffering in that process.
Yeah. I mean, we're losing out a lot. A lot of times the damage done in the early ages, it's hard to turn it around by the time they're adults because they're not getting the support that they needed at that stage of the game either.
Yeah. And well, so, if you think about the whole real reality of bullying, it's learned aggression.
Yes.
Because a kid does nothing wrong and somebody that's close to him abuses the right of trust. And because of that, that child says, I don't have an outlet. And like Sean was saying, either they take their own life or they pass it on.
Yep.
And until we start looking at a solution, I mean, I can't imagine raising millions and millions of dollars of cancer just to make a better hospital bed for the cancer patient. It makes no sense. And that's exactly what we're doing with bullying, because we keep saying, you know, if we had tougher children, they're all pansies, punks, or whatever. And I said, if you look at what you're saying, you're actually assisting in bullying, because look at
we
what
don't
the
need tougher
being
children.
Bullied
we need that. We need more compassionate children.
Yes.
Compassionate people in general. Compassionate adults that help foster compassionate children. That's what we need. But, you know, easier said than done, especially with, you know, all of the symptoms we have for a society in trouble. Overworked, overwhelmed, overstressed, over, and over again. I mean, and that's where it's at. And we could probably go on and on and on, and I realize we've lost Sean. He was traveling, everyone. He was in his car, so we do appreciate that he was taking out time to join us. But, you know, his organization, they do, and I kind of want to transition a little bit to share the little bit of knowledge we have about what his organization does. But as Sean was saying, they get calls from kids, and I wanted to ask him, you know, how all these young people out there are finding them, but these young people are calling themselves. It's not just the parents trying to find help for their kids. These are kids that are finding the resources and reaching out and placing the calls to ask for help. And I see Sean just jumped back on, so maybe I can ask him that question. So, Sean, are you with us?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there, but, you know, I'm on the highway, so you get these dead zones here and there.
Well, we're glad that you came back on. Kaylin and I were getting ready to try and share the little bit that we do know about all the different things that your organization does, because you had talked to us about that you go and personally visit these kids and you make connections to reach out with members of the community to provide support services. But the question that I wanted to ask you was, how are these kids finding you? How are they coming across your number to ask for help?
Well, they find us, not necessarily our number, but, you know, social media. A lot of times people contact us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is Team Bully Response Squad, Team Bully Response Squad. And a lot of times people will send us messages about what's going on. And we've had kids find us off of our YouTube videos, and they'll send us emails. They'll send us emails about what's going on, and a lot of times then we'll start the initial process of trying to, you know, get these situations resolved. Now, granted, we don't travel on all of them. Sometimes we can make phone calls and get kids resources and get parents the help they need, because sometimes these cases just aren't that bad. But sometimes they really, really, really are. You know, these kids are at the brink of taking their lives. And that's the difference of what we do. Going down and giving someone your time, that means the world of a difference versus trying to get somebody a DVD to watch or give somebody a bully kit and a T-shirt. You know, that's not going to solve no problems.
I'm sorry for laughing, but, yeah, it's comedy at its finest. And Des and I were talking about that when we had lost you, how, you know, it takes more than a change in a profile pic to make a difference.
Right, and it takes more than people say, you know, when we were doing a fundraiser to go help the kid down in Peoria. Oh, I don't want to give, but we're praying for you. Well, everybody's praying for the kid. Well, what good is that going to do? Everybody's praying and nothing's getting done. I mean, you know, if you pray and put your money where your mouth is and donate, you know. Donating $5 or $10 is not going to hurt you to go help a kid. But for some reason, it just seems like bullying isn't the thing. So, you know, what are you going to do? So, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, we're going to keep marching, and we're going to keep talking, and you're going to keep participating in opportunities like this for people to learn. So you're on YouTube. You have a website?
Yeah, same thing. Website is teambullyresponsesquad.org.
Okay, great. And if people wanted to donate, so they're listening to this show and they do want to jump on and contribute, can they contribute online, or is it totally mailing in, or how does that work?
No, they can do it online. Once you go to our website, teambullyresponsesquad.org, and that's team, T-E-A-M. Once they go to Team Bully Response Squad, there's a contribute button, and then you can donate via PayPal. And matter of fact, we got a request to come out to Newport, Virginia before I went out to Peoria. We have a 14-year-old girl that took her life at that school, and we had someone from a page that reached out to us and said, hey, bullying has been a huge problem out here since 2003. Can you please come out here and help? And I'm going to start looking into that situation and see what I can do to help out, and probably will merit a visit. You know, if it's been a problem since 2003 and you just had this beautiful child take her life at the age of 14, well, yeah. You know, things like we need to try to get something done. So,
exactly. And talk to us, so what kind of, like, outreach are you getting? Can you talk to us a little bit about numbers from when you first started compared to the number of requests for help you're getting now? Or, I mean, what does that pattern look like?
Well, it was like this. You know, we would love to get the word out more about what our organization does. But, you know, just like with anything, without the funding, you can't really get the word out there. And that's what I really hate, because I believe some of these suicides could be avoided, you know, if people would just reach out or we can get the funding behind us. But, you know, without that, you know, we move at a snail's pace. So, you know, it just is what it is. So hopefully people will, you know, if there's some people listening and think this is a worthy cause, please donate, because when that call comes in for help, no matter where it's at, we're going. And just like I told a group of speakers last night, you know, if we got to go to the gates of hell in order to snatch a kid's life back, we're going to most definitely do it. But we can't do it without the people. The power is in the people. It's the people that produce the change. We the people.
Enough.
Literally.
So it's safe to say then, though, that your number of requests are increasing.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. They are increasing. Yeah. Like I said, we're not even back from Peoria, and we're looking at going to Newport, Virginia. And also, unfortunately, I got another call about a child in the St. Louis area from one of the school districts that apparently has taken their life because of bullying, and they wanted me to come out. I was the first person they thought of to come out. I'm like, well, hey, I'm already out here helping another kid. So, you know, these schools are going to have to start getting on board. If not, you know, it's not going to yield anything. And by the time a child takes their life, then you're looking at a major lawsuit when something could have simply been done. You know, these schools are going to have to stop turning a blind eye to this situation. So, you know, if they don't, things won't get any better.
Yeah, but, you know, like you were saying, Sean, it's so big. I think the thing that really is frightening to so many is that underlying question, who all is going to be involved? Because we're so scared of stepping on the wrong toes or hurting someone's feelings. Our children are dying because of our fear. And, you know, we talk about how we're so against bullying, but honestly we're not, because we're just enabling it by doing nothing. And
yeah,
that's
not
the most frightening part of all.
Yeah, you're right. People are not motivated. You should be motivated. This is like a red hot issue, and apparently it seems like people are just ignoring it. You know, I don't know why people are motivated. You know, if you're not motivated, hey, I'm motivated. So, like I said, you know, it's a lot of work that needs to be done, and as you use scripture, you know, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. And I know I am one laborer that is out here. And like I said, I'll make the plea again. If there are any Christians out here listening to this and hearing my voice, I most definitely urge you to do this. You know, this is something that the Lord has called me to do. He has given me a commandment to go save the kids, and that's what I'm doing. I don't have time for bureaucracy. I don't have time for talk. We're not sending out no kits. We're not sending out, you know, like I said, no T-shirts. No, we're going to actually physically show up and get involved in this child's life. And we're going to pour into this kid's life and see how we can make their life better. We're going to see how we can get this kid connected to positive experiences and positive people and positive programs in order to empower them, to make sure they do not fall to the wayside or these kids continue to fall through the cracks. Like I said, statistics state over 250-something thousand kids would not go to school every day because of bullying. And surely we can do a little bit better in order to keep these kids from keep taking their lives. I would like to think so.
Most definitely. So we can be involved by donating. That's one way. But say I want to join Team Bully, or I want to go out and visit schools in my area, but I don't feel equipped. How do you help, or what are the options for that person that wants to personally get involved in addition to financially?
Well, no, that's fine. That's why we mentioned with the Newport, Virginia. You know, unfortunately, the child's already lost their life, but they want us to come out and help. So, yeah, we get requests for people to come out. Actually, I have another wonderful mom from San Antonio, Texas. Her 15-year-old son committed suicide because of bullying, and she asked me if I can come out and help put together an event and raise awareness for her son's death. So, yeah, most definitely. So, yeah, we get requests, and, yeah, we don't mind that. We're not going to say, oh, no, no. If someone asks for us to come out and help, and we can keep another child fall in pursuit of another child taking her life because of bullying, yes, it is most definitely a worthwhile cause for us to travel and do something, most certainly. And you contact us via Facebook, and we'll figure out how we can coordinate something and put together an event. Yeah, most definitely. So it's not always about the money. You know, it's about us bringing our presence and the connections that I have to law enforcement. When I do travel, that's how we're getting the change that we want. by getting our first responders more active and getting a more leadership role to some of these situations.
So that's good. What I was looking for is, if I personally, I'm a mom, maybe I don't have any real bullying issues in my house, but I have a burden for this, how can I become a part of Team Bully? Or
we would love to grow this nationally. We've already been to Baltimore, we've been to Atlanta, we just got back from Indiana, and like I said, I just mentioned, we just come back from Peoria. We're most definitely spreading the word and looking at how we can get this organization to grow and building those connections. So I would just say contact me. Contact me via Facebook like most people are doing. You know, send us an email at thetbrs, that's T-H-E, T as in Tom, B as in Boy, R as in Robert, S as in Sam, thetbrs@yahoo.com. And if you have some ideal that you would like to do something, yeah, we would bring out the presence of what TBRS does and see how we can grow it and work together.
Perfect. Because I know once people hear you, I mean, you can definitely feel your passion coming through the phone lines. I mean, I know there's people out there that are going to be stirred and are just thinking, oh, my gosh, how can I, you know, get involved in my neighborhood or my community or bring this level of passion to where I live?
Right. Well, like I said, this is something, you know, I feel God has called me to do, and I'm going to do it. So, you know, if you want me to come out, I've been asked to come out as a guest speaker out to Arkansas. You know, that's something that we're looking at too. So, yeah, the opportunity to do something and raise awareness, like I said, which is a great thing. I think that's fantastic. But sometimes you have to just take things a step or two further, and that's what we do. We are a fully intervention team that would get involved, and you know, we look to bring the dynamics of law enforcement, first responders, mental health people, schools. You know, we want to bring that human presence in order to get the change that we want, in order to save lives and to change minds of young people.
Okay, I see what you're saying, because I think what Dez is asking, if she couldn't get you out to her area, would you be able to set her up with some kind of profile or foundation?
Oh, yeah,
so
most definitely. Yes,
well, your voice.
Yeah, contact me, contact me, and we can work on putting a plan together. It's always great to plan things. Most definitely, yeah, contact me. That's what I said, either the email or via Facebook, contact me, and let me start that initial assessment, let me know what's going on, and then we can begin to plan something that we need to do. Yeah, sometimes it may not require me coming out. Yeah, contact me. I'm always open to help people. I have absolutely not a problem with doing that, not at all.
I'm a witness to that.
Hello, you guys still there?
we are still. I think so.
Oh, okay. I didn't know we went to another dead zone. I'm down
no,
in the middle of that one right here.
I think we're just all taking it all in. I think we're just taking it all in about this point, because this is just one of those topics that you can go in so many directions and so many facets with so many questions that surround it. But I think what would be helpful to our listeners, and I know it was helpful for me in understanding everything, well, not everything, but at least get a really good feel for what you guys do, is I did see a video that you had posted on Facebook kind of as an example of one of your cases. So can you just kind of walk us through kind of like a case study of maybe one of your interventions that you can talk about, and just kind of step by step all the different things that happened in that particular situation from beginning to, you know, the end and you going to the visit and so on and so forth?
Well, just kind of like the one kid leaving Peoria, I'll just kind of stick to that case. You know, we haven't put too much information on that yet because, we just completed it. But it always starts with assessment. You know, a lot of times when kids are being bullied, you need to let kids and let the parents tell their story. Once someone tells their story and you find out what's going on, then we need to find out how can we change or how can we make things better. That's where everything starts at. And once we get that initial process going and determining, you know, do we need to make a response, or are there local resources in order to make a difference, you know, we evaluate things from there. And if it merits us coming out in order to help someone, then we will address the issue why that person is getting bullied, or we try to address it as best as possible. Well, with one kid we just left, you know, he had a birth defect. So we can't address that, but, you know, mom had just, or this kid just had surgery in order to correct that. So bullying tears kids down so much. It's so depressing. So what we do is we look to get resources put behind kids so we can build them back up. And that's what we want to do. Find out how can we get kids connected to positive experience in order to help them out. When we come down, it's not usually just a one-day intervention. We usually stay for 2 or 3 days. With this case here, it was pretty severe, so we stayed for 3 days, or I stayed for 3 days, in order to get that connection that we need and to pull these kids out of this negative of hopelessness and despair. You know, like I said, a lot of times with bullying, it takes time to unravel that package. You know, that's why a lot of times just a quick fix is not going to work. Because like Dylan said, you know, these kids have been getting bullied for years. And when you've been getting bullied for years and months, just trying to come down and spend a couple hours with someone is not going to work. You have to be dedicated enough to give this person your heart, your soul, your passion, and give them your spirit in order to help let them know that it's going to be all right and taking your life is not the answer. And that's what we give them, and that's what the whole TDRS, Aviance, that's what we bring.
Well, I'm so glad you do. Go ahead, Des.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, go ahead. I was going to say, how receptive are the schools when you come into these areas, when these kids call you and you come in to help? How receptive are the schools to you coming into their building and addressing that, hey, you've got this major problem going on?
Yeah, it depends. You know, some schools aren't. You know, we went to one down in Indiana in Jay County. You know, they did not. Yeah, they didn't want to let us get involved, you know, which is fine. So when schools don't let us get involved, it's always, as you kind of put another way, to skin a cat. So what we do, we hold rallies at the Boys and Girls Club, or we hold rallies at the YMCA. And so what we do, we invite the entire town out. And that way you have no issue with the schools, and that's what, you know, that's what we do make things work. Now, with the case we just left out of Pekin, you know, the school was gracious enough to invite us. We had a great meeting with the local police department. The mental health officials came out, school counselors. So we had a real great time, a positive action plan we put in place we think that can further assist this child. So it just, I guess you say it's a 50-50. You know, either they will work with you or you won't, you know, but nevertheless, we're not going to let a school's unwillingness stop us from what we got to do to help a kid because, you know, you can always bring those outside services in where you don't have to worry about the school saying no of what you can or cannot do.
Very nice.
Yeah, I get your point, and I'm telling you, I know that we're going to have you on again because Des and I know natural competitors are connected in the areas that you're referring to where you're thinking about traveling, and I'm sure we can set up some connections for you there so at least, you know, you have a natural bodybuilder on site. And there's so much more we can be doing, and you know, this show didn't fall on deaf ears, especially mine. So, you know, I'll do as much as I can because, like I said, this is a very near and dear subject to my heart.
Yeah, right. And a lot of stuff a lot of stuff starts with conversation, and you having a show, and it just starts with having a conversation on how we can raise the bar. How can we raise the level of what we need to do? So I appreciate you having me out. And please have me back again. We're looking at trying to do a run in October, you know, hopefully with the Cardinals, and looking at do some things with the baseball team around October. So if that can come to fruition, you know, maybe we can come back on. Maybe there's some people that are athletic and that might want to join, and it'll be a great time for everybody.
Well, okay, let's end on a happy note, and you can talk about your connection with Willie McGee.
Oh, well, and then on a happy note, Willie McGee from the Cardinals, actually, it's a professional baseball team down here in Peoria, which the Cardinals own. And since this kid liked baseball, I got him connected, you know, to the Peoria Chiefs. And just so happened when we come out here to the baseball park to see a game, when we come out to see a baseball game, just so happened we had legendary, Willie McGee, the baseball guy. You know, he was in the dugout getting the team prepped. And one of the young men at the baseball stadium had already heard about the kid's story. So what he did was he went over and let Willie McGee know, and Willie McGee immediately came over and just connected with the kid, and he wound up signing a baseball for him, signing a jersey for him, and he even invited us to come back today for baseball practice, for batting practice. So
nice.
Willie McGee did some really awesome things to help this kid. And one thing I like what Willie McGee did, I thought was really awesome. Not only did he do those cool things for him yesterday, when he came today, he just wanted to spend time with the kid. We didn't want no cameras, no pictures taken. He just wanted to spend time with little Malachi, and I thought that was really precious. He wanted to give this kid his time, and he explained some of the hardships and some of the bullying he went through growing up. And I just thought that was great for him to be the unwillingness of someone that major at the level and training these guys to say, hey, I'm going to give this kid some of my time. I thought that was really great. And that's what we want to do, everybody pouring into this child's life. That's what makes the difference.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, John, you know, sadly, the show's coming to an end, but I'd really love for you to give some shout-outs to the people that have supported you through thick and thin, and we'll take this show on.
Oh, shout-outs. My shout-outs, I guess, for one, you got to thank God. You know, he is the one that orchestrates, a lot of these things and the things that we do. I guess I don't know if they'll throw a lot of names out there, but I will just say I just thank the people. They know who they are. You know, I got a few people that when times are really tough, when I'm trying to get out of town and make these interventions, they unselfishly would donate in order for me to get out. And that's just a blessing in itself. So hopefully, people keep getting involved and this thing can grow. And whoever heard this radio station, so I just hope you motivate. I just want people to be motivated for change, to wake up and let's do something. Stop being bystanders. If it's coming out and donating your time or donating your finances or however you can donate, just give back to the people, and I guess that's the most important thing I can say as I close this show.
Well, thank you, brother.
Well, thank you.
God bless you, and big hats off to you for all you're doing, and, people don't think the bird's eye view of what you're doing, but they don't really understand, what you're involved with deeply, so let's end it in a good way, but definitely know that we got you. Big shout out to you, man. Thank you.
Oh no, I appreciate it. The work not gonna stop, brother. We gonna keep moving. The work don't stop. If I gotta catch a bike or catch the bus to the next state to go help a kid, I'm going. Hey, the work ain't gonna stop, brother. Like I said, the
all
power
right,
is in the people. It's always in the people.
Amen to that. Dad,
all right,
take
thanks,
us home.
Guys. All right, God bless you all.
All right,
God
have a great night, Sean. Thanks so much.
Oh, okay, good night.
Well, definitely a very different topic for us, but a very important one, and hopefully it's one that any members of our Natty Nation that are out there that are listening or that will be listening in the days and weeks to come, one that we can get behind as a group, in our own individual areas, but still supporting it as natural athletes and do our part to make change.
All right. Thank you.
Right,
and I want to end it with this statement before Dez takes us home. The only thing evil needs to do to prosper is to have good people do nothing. And I'll give it back to you, Dez.
Amen to that. So with that being said, your body is a temple in so many ways. Let's build it.